Remember when the internet promised to be the ultimate democratizing force? A place where power would be decentralized, information would flow freely, and creative communities would thrive without corporate gatekeepers? That vision, deeply rooted in 1960s counterculture, has been thoroughly corrupted. What began as a revolution has instead created unprecedented monopolies that extract massive value while creating little of their own. Google, Facebook, and Amazon now dominate with a monopolistic control that would have been unthinkable or at least illegal in earlier eras. The scale is staggering. Mark Zuckerberg can reach over 2 billion people with a single algorithmic tweak, more individuals than any government or religious leader in history. Jeff Bezos controls not just how books are sold, but increasingly how they're published. Google processes over 3.5 billion searches daily, effectively deciding what information most people access. How did we get here? And more importantly, where do we go from here? The digital revolution has been captured by an ideology that would have seemed extreme just decades ago. The libertarian theories of Milton Friedman and Ayn Rand, once considered fringe ideas, have become the dominant operating system for our economy and increasingly our culture. Tech billionaires see themselves as Randian heroes, unfettered by social obligation, while Peter Thiel's essay, Competition is for Losers, explicitly advocates monopoly as the ideal business model. This shift didn't happen by accident. It was a deliberate project that began in the 1970s, gained momentum under Reagan, and reached its apotheosis in Silicon Valley. What's remarkable is how thoroughly these once radical ideas have permeated mainstream thinking. The notion that shareholder value should be companies' primary concern was revolutionary in 1970. Today, it's taught as gospel in business schools. The celebration of disruption for its own sake has become so commonplace we barely question it. This intellectual capture explains why we failed to develop adequate responses to digital monopolies. We've internalized a worldview that celebrates precisely the outcomes we're experiencing: massive concentration of wealth and power in the hands of a few visionary individuals. Since 2004, we've witnessed approximately $50 billion annually shifting from content creators to platform owners. This isn't just redistribution, it's extraction on an industrial scale. Music industry revenues plummeted from $19.8 billion in 2000 to $7.7 billion by 2016. Newspaper advertising revenue fell from $65.8 billion in 2000 to $23.6 billion in 2013. Meanwhile, Google's revenue increased from $400 million in 2002 to $74.5 billion in 2015. This isn't coincidence, it's causation. The digital platforms have deliberately designed business models that capture value without compensating creators. They've exploited regulatory loopholes, particularly Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which shields them from liability for content on their platforms. This creates an asymmetric advantage. Traditional media companies must pay for content creation and bear legal responsibility, while platforms distribute the same content without either cost. The tech companies insist this represents creative destruction, the necessary disruption of outdated business models. But destruction has far outpaced creation. Instagram had just 13 employees when Facebook acquired it for $1 billion. Kodak, which it helped destroy, once employed 140,000 people. Imagine what happens when this logic extends to transportation, healthcare, and education. Digital monopolies have profoundly reshaped culture itself. Platform algorithms prioritize engagement above all, amplifying content that triggers strong emotional responses, particularly outrage, fear, and tribal identity, which accelerates political polarization and undermines shared reality. Creative industries have suffered severely. Musicians earn fractions of pennies per stream. Journalists face layoffs as advertising revenue flows to platforms instead of publishers. And filmmakers confront shrinking budgets amid collapsing distribution models. This represents both an economic and cultural problem. When creative work is devalued, we get less of it or different kinds. The middle of cultural production has collapsed. We have blockbuster movies and amateur YouTube videos, but fewer mid-budget films, megastore musicians and bedroom producers, but a hollowed-out middle class of working artists. While platforms claim to democratize culture by removing gatekeepers, they've merely installed new ones, algorithmic systems optimized for engagement rather than quality or diversity. The result is culture increasingly shaped by metrics rather than meaning, by what captures attention rather than what sustains it. The rise of digital monopolies resulted from specific policy choices, not inevitability. Since the 1980s, antitrust enforcement weakened under Chicago School Economics, which narrowed harm definition to consumer prices. Digital platforms offering free services have largely avoided scrutiny despite growing market power. Digital platforms thrive on network effects, creating winner-take-all dynamics. Once dominant, users gravitate toward the largest network, entrenching the leader's position. Facebook's value stems from its universal adoption. Google search improves as usage increases. These companies consolidate power through strategic acquisitions of potential competitors. Facebook eliminated threats by purchasing Instagram and WhatsApp. Google has absorbed potential competition through over 200 acquisitions. Their influence extends beyond economic dominance to unprecedented control over information flows. Google's algorithms determine information accessibility, while Facebook's newsfeed shapes content visibility. This power to curate reality represents a novel form of control. Despite this bleak landscape, resistance is emerging across multiple creative sectors. Musicians, from independent artists to established names like Taylor Swift, are organizing to demand fairer compensation from streaming services. Journalists are building subscriber-supported publications like Substack newsletters and member-funded news organizations. Independent filmmakers are exploring direct-to-audience distribution through platforms like Seed and Spark. These acts of resistance represent the beginnings of what could become a digital renaissance, a reclaiming of the Internet's original promise. This renaissance requires robust antitrust enforcement to address platform monopolies, updated regulatory frameworks for the digital age, exploration of alternative ownership models like platform cooperatives, and cultural resistance through conscious consumption choices. The Internet's origins as a DARPA-funded project designed around decentralized principles remind us that its current form isn't inevitable. The consolidation of control by a few private companies represents a historical anomaly, a betrayal of the technology's original promise of an open, accessible network. The battle between digital monopolies and the creative class represents a contest over our society's future. Will we continue with techno-determinism, where algorithms dictate our economic and cultural lives? Or will we reassert human values and democratic governance over technological development? The stakes are enormous. As automation accelerates across all economic sectors, current trajectories risk creating unprecedented inequality, a small class of platform owners capturing most gains while the majority struggle for increasingly scarce work. The alternative begins with recognizing that technology should serve human flourishing, not just shareholder value. It requires rebuilding the connection between economic activity and social good that decades of libertarian economics have severed. It demands reasserting democratic control through thoughtful regulation and institutional innovation. The digital revolution promised to decentralize power and harmonize people. Though betrayed, this promise hasn't been forgotten. We must choose between allowing technology to further concentrate power or using it for liberation and connection. The future isn't determined by technology, but by the values and rules we choose to govern it. The power to reshape our digital future remains in our hands.